been doing a series called Help, and it's been not an easy one, but it's been one that I've constantly have been reminded by those coming and by church members that this is something, it's where we live, it's where we're at in life. One member said last week, it's real. A few weeks ago, another member said, you could preach on help every week. You could preach on help. So it's kind of been one of those series that we just kind of planned. It'd be 4 weeks, and it's kind of grown. And we've just tried to adapt to the needs and where people are really at in life. And so we're continuing the series Help, talking about where we're at in life and just being honest. And that's not easy. And it's tough. And I'm going to just share a few illustrations here, and then I'm gonna share a prayer that we have been using for the last 4 weeks by Max Licato, and we're going to continue to use it to help us keep grounded and find our way through this. The real life where we're at is when someone might share, when I get in a fight with him, I'm calling my mom right away. Which brings up the question, who is the first person that you turn to when experiencing a difficulty in a relationship? Another comment not too long ago was, I'm just tired of trying to work through things in our relationship. And it brings up the question, if you're running empty on in a relationship, how are you going to refuel? It's that honest confession from him a few weeks ago where he says, it's been a long time since I really gave her my best. So that begs the question, have you been withholding your best from someone for too long? And these are the statements that bring forth the questions that hit us where we're really at in life, a lot of us where we're at in life. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now, and we're going to allow Max Licato to lead us in prayer. His words are this: you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. God is going to help you work through this mess. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this. Amen. I invite you, if you have got a Bible, the Bibles are available, and please, I invite you to take those at this time. And I'm going to turn to Scripture, to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, cover the story I'm going to be teaching on today. I'll be reading selectively from that passage, but while you're seated there, if you want to read 1 through 11, that gives the whole story that we're going to be handling today. 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were guests also. It was brought to attention that they're just about out of wine. And so, 6 stoneware pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washings. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. And so Jesus instructed the servants, fill the pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And now fill your pitchers and take them to the host, Jesus said, and they did. And when the host tasted the water that had become wine, he called out to the bridegroom, Everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you have saved the best till now. This act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave. It was the first glimpse of his glory. Summer is the season for weddings. Most likely, a lot of us have been invited to a wedding, have attended a wedding, have bought a gift for a wedding. We have done something wedding-related this summer. Just a quick show of hands. If you've done something wedding-related this summer, just a show of hands right now. Yeah. A great percentage of you have been affected by or been able to be a part of a wedding. I think it's very interesting that as we're in this season of marriage and a season of weddings, that we come to this passage. That this passage helps us kind of understand Jesus maybe in a different perspective than what we're used to. It's interesting to note that if I were to ask you a question, where does Jesus perform his first miracle, where were your mind and your heart might gravitate towards? What would Jesus' first miracle be, you think? Now see, if someone would ask me that, I would have said, well, I think it would be a healing. I think that Jesus' first miracle would probably be he would heal someone who's paralyzed. I think that maybe Jesus' first miracle might be he goes to the bed of a sick person. I would think that Jesus' first miracle might be the fish and the bread. And you know, the list goes on. But you've just read what many scholars say is Jesus' first miracle right here. This is his first miracle, turning water into wine at a wedding. And what I think is really interesting about that a lot of times is we focus on the water being turned to wine and we get wrapped up in all the logistics and how does that happen and what could be the explanation for that. And that's not really the central point to this. The central point is this, is that I think that when Jesus performs his first miracle at a wedding, a relational truth emerges about Jesus, about who he is. This is not him just being some incredible miracle worker just so he can go around dabbling with liquids and chemicals and showing people what he can do. I think a relational truth about Jesus emerges in his first miracle. It's a relational truth that starts his ministry and how people come to know him. It's a relational truth that we need to grasp a hold of today. When I'm meeting with couples and premarital counseling, and when I'm talking to them about their wedding, and we get to some of the logistics, I'll ask them out of the blue. I'll say, "So how about your guest list? Is your guest list ready?" And they'll usually look at me, and almost all the time, the bride to be she'll look at me and go, "Oh, that was the first thing. I mean, guest list. I mean, you're like way late. We've invited all of our guests." And I said, "So you've invited your guests?" And she's like, "Yeah." I was like, "You got your invitations out." And the look is like, "Where are you from? I mean, that was like the guests have been invited 3 months ago. I mean, you're way behind." And I'll look at them and I'll go, "Have you invited Jesus? Have you invited Jesus to your wedding?" And that's always kind of like a question of, they're like, "What goof are you?" And, you know, it's kind of like that uneasy thing of, that's pretty cheesy, right? And they're kind of looking at each other. But I go, "No, seriously, have you invited Jesus?" The wedding that we just read about, the miracle that Jesus just performed, something is very important is that Jesus was invited to that wedding. He would have traveled probably 2 days to have gotten to that wedding. He would have traveled. He would have had to make an effort to have gotten there. It would have kind of had to be on him and his disciples' agendas a little bit. Maybe not as bad as us, but a little bit it would have been on his agenda. We have to understand that Jesus doesn't just invite himself to this wedding. And we probably need to understand that probably Jesus didn't want to invite himself to a wedding, but that Jesus was invited to this wedding. A lot of times as I'm talking to the couple about inviting Jesus to their wedding, when we get through to this, the couple starts to look at me and go, "Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. We probably should just slow down with all the logistics. We probably should invite Jesus to our wedding. He should be a guest. We shouldn't assume he's going to attend, and we shouldn't assume he wants to just invite himself." Recently, following a wedding ceremony and the message I gave that day, a guest came to me and she said, that message you shared with that newlywed couple. I went, "Yeah." And she's like, "That message is for all of us. It's not just for newlyweds." And I had to think about that. And that really spoke to me and it really resonated that, yeah, it speaks to all of us. It's not just for wedding couples. It's for everybody in every type of relationship. Just as it's God's plan that all couples entering marriage will invite Jesus to be the bond that will hold them together and help them love one another in ways deeper and higher than possible on our own, so it is God's plan that each of our relationships not just the marital one, but each of our relationships has Christ at their center. And this relational truth that Jesus performs at the wedding is so critical for us to understand this morning. Because I think what we tend to do is we tend to say, Jesus Christ is my own personal Lord and Savior. And so we make him ours. And we say, he's my personal Lord and Savior. And I think we got to do that. But I think sometimes what we tend to do is we tend to minimize Jesus. We tend to not make him as relational as he really is. I think we tend to diminish part of his being, and we say, well, he's my personal Lord and Savior. And we fail to say, he's also my Lord and Savior for this marriage. He's also the Lord and Savior of this friendship. He's also the Lord and Savior of my relationship with my son. The Lord and Savior of my relationship with my mother-in-law. And we tend to not do this. But this relational truth at the wedding tells us that we should be doing this for all of our relationships. Honestly, I hope today that there's a young adult or a young person here who hears this message. And I hope that someday at your wedding, when you have that head table, if you have the head table, I really hope it'd be great, bring a smile to my face, and I'd love to get a text message. I'd love to get a picture of it. I'd just love for a young couple or a young person listening today, if you just had a place at your head table for Jesus. If you just had his name up there and just had a place for Jesus and just said, you know what, at our head table, yeah, we got our friends and we got our family. But Jesus is here today too. We invited him. He has a place in our wedding. And so the first thing I think that we need to understand in all of our relationships today is, and various ones and whatever level they're at, is this, that we need to invite Jesus Christ to be the center of our relationships. You know, there are no marriages or relationships that are short of trials or difficulties. They come to us in different shapes and sizes at different times. Angie and I were just newly married. I just turned 22. She's just 20. We're both finishing up school together. We're both living in campus housing and cramped corners and I was at the coffee table, new into this marriage, and I thought everything was great. I had my coffee. I was being holy. I had my devotion, and right, I mean, everything's wonderful. And I got startled when Angie was quite upset at me, and it was brought to my attention that I had just done something that was going to be unacceptable for the continuance of our marital relationship together. And I was just brought aware of something that I was doing something, and it had to stop. It had to stop. I'm a toothpaste kind of guy. I like to roll the tube of toothpaste up methodically as I go. I'm a roller. I roll up. Does anybody else, do you roll the tube of toothpaste up as you go? And then how many of you are scrunchers? You just scrunch that tube. You go in, you scrunch it, you leave it as the way it is, and you just scrunch that thing until it's dead, right? And so I would roll, and she scrunches, and she just finally got to the point. She's like, quit rolling up the tube of toothpaste. Just leave it alone. Because, like, every time she'd go, it, like, you know, open and it squirts out. And she's just like, I hate that. And that was, like, a big deal. And then I was just, like, sitting there. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is our first fight. This is our first fight. I kind of, like, call my mom. This is our first fight. You know, different degrees, different levels, but every relationship is going to have trials and difficulties. Look at this poor newly married couple right here. They are only 2 days into their marriage, and they have no wine. That is an issue for that culture at that time and at that day. Of course, when it was brought to attention that there's no wine, the groom would have turned to his father and said, Dad, no wine. Help me. The bride would have been aware of the situation as well. If the guy's aware of it, you know the bride is aware of it, and she would have been aware of it, and she would have looked to her mother and probably said, "Mom, can you help? Can you help?" And so this is what we do, isn't it? When our relationships encounter problems, We turn to somebody. Who do you turn to when you start having difficulties in your relationships or a particular relationship? Who's that person that you turn to? This text that we just read this morning, it tells us that Jesus is the one that we should turn to when needing help in our relationships. And Jesus is one. At a wedding, I will say to a couple, I'll say, bring all of your needs to Jesus, for he will be the greatest help in your lives and in your marriage. And so just to say that to them, here's a message for us today. The next time that we are encountering trouble or difficulty in a relationship, and we go to call, or we go to turn to blank, whoever that might be, maybe just stop for a moment and just say, you know what? I think that first and foremost, I should turn to Jesus for help. I should bring this to him. I should talk to him because, after all, he is the Lord and Savior, not just of my heart, but he's the Lord and Savior of our relationship. And I should bring it to him and allow him to be Lord and Savior of this relationship. So we need to turn to Jesus for help in our relationships. You know, when the wine ran out, if your text is still open, when the wine ran out, there were standing there six, somewhat, they say, ordinary and empty jars. And not much. I think that this translates into us. These jars symbolically can translate into us and into who we are and how we feel a lot of times. Talking a lot of times to people who need help, I get it. I've heard it and I've embodied it myself, the sentiment of we have nothing to give to Jesus. We're drained. We're exhausted. Truthfully, Chad, we have nothing to give Jesus. We're totally broke emotionally. I have nothing to give Jesus. We just have nothing. And honestly, Chad, Jesus wouldn't possibly want our relationship. He possibly wouldn't want what I have to offer him right now anyways. I mean, there's no possible way that Jesus could want it anyways at this time. These ordinary and empty jars were presented to Jesus. And he took what was made available to him, and he made something greater of it. So this morning, we have to give Jesus that relationship, or possibly another relationship. We have to give it to him right now. No matter how empty it is, broken, ordinary, or the like, we have to give Jesus something to work with. Because as this story teaches us this morning, Jesus loves performing miracles in relationships. He loves to put a miracle in the context of a relationship because he truly wants to be a Lord and Savior of that relationship. Maybe you've never thought of giving Jesus a relationship. Maybe you never really thought about that. But of all things, our relationships are really the most important things that we could give to Jesus. In my wedding messages, and I want you to make this your own in your specific way and customize it for yourself, but keep in mind, this is how I end my wedding messages, and I'll say this. Lauren and Michael, your love for one another will take you beyond all expectations if you give to Jesus what you have so he can make it greater. Here's my hope for your marriage. Usually Michael will be here, and I'll say, Michael and Lauren, it's that Jesus would be the miracle in your marriage as you invite him into your marriage today and for each day to come. That Jesus will be the miracle as you submit all of your needs to him first. And that he will be the miracle of your marriage as you offer him all you have so that he can make it even greater. My prayer this morning would be that we'll do that. Let's give Jesus that relationship or possibly another so he could truly be Lord and Savior of it. And we're going to find that the help that we need is Jesus. Because that's who he is. He's Lord and Savior, not just of our heart, but of our relationships. Dear Jesus, we come to you this morning. And just as you have redeemed, and just as you are working with and through your Spirit, transforming our individual hearts, restoration projects, renewal projects, this purifying project that you are working in our heart. So may we give to you relationships that they may also have that same identity, that same work of the Holy Spirit working through them, because we're placing you at the center of them. Help us to invite you into relationships, to bring the needs of our relationships to you, and to give you all that we have. In your name, amen. I'd like to end this morning with just let you know there's celebrations to continue today. We started the service with celebrations, and it's good to end with celebrations, especially when you're talking about relationships and the beauty of relationships. I just want you to know that Kalina and Alexa, I know, you came in, they were a little late. They were a little late today. They were late at Shine, but they're also two college students who are going to be, they're going to be leaving us soon. They won't be sitting back there every Sunday like I've become accustomed to. I've been a little spoiled this summer seeing both of you back there all summer long. But please note that there's Kalina and Alexa back there, and let them know after the service that your prayers and your support are with them. Also, I would just like to extend to Chris and Sarah McWilliams. Chris, you're back there if you just want to wave your hand. Chris and Sarah have a beautiful newborn baby, 2 weeks old, maybe a week. 2 weeks old little baby girl named Isla. She was in here a little bit this morning. But Chris, congratulations to both you and Sarah. I'm so happy for you. And thank you for helping grow our church. And we appreciate that. You have 4 kids now? 5 kids. You trumped me with Isla. So, I mean, you want to talk about families growing our church. They're doing it. So congratulations to you. Have a beautiful, you may stand, and have a blessed week. And may God's peace be with you. Amen.